virus has completely devastated over 150 of the world's major regions and then is spreading rapidly. At this point in time, we know of only one method of killing the creatures.
The Lost Boys.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Lost Boys podcast. As always, Jason's here. Skelly's here with me. We're actually on location in my house. Finally, for the first time since we've done one of these podcasts, Skelly and I used to get together and run our other podcast together. But this is the first time with the Lost Boys starting up that we're actually in the same room together. What's happening, Skelly?
Oh, I am just... What's the permeating energy right now? I don't even know why. I am running off of, cross to zero. It's just, zero fucking sleep. Because my job sucks. And my coworkers suck. So, but I'm feeling fucking actually really, really good.
He's amped up for the episode.
Dude, I'm ready, bro. If you could see me, I got some fucking white trash glasses on, and it is, we are ready.
He definitely looks like a bouncer outside, like a roadhouse. I don't mean that in a bad way. I knew you wanted to get into your day a little bit. I mean, is that it?
My dude, bro. All right. Everybody knows I work at a gas station. If anybody wants some,
there's something afoot at the Circle K.
if anybody wants some insight on how it works at a gas station, you know what I mean? There's a first shift, there's a second shift, and a third shift. I was originally on third shift, and now I'm on second shift. I set a limit for how the third shift should be done, and I moved up to second shift, and somebody that was already with the company replaced me on third shift. Then that person sucked so much that we hired somebody else from another store to do the third shift, and then they sucked. And it was just kind of funny because, like, when we hired that second employee from another store, their first excuse was that their grandma died. And I remember I looked at the manager and I was like, well, they'll only be able to make that excuse once or twice, you know. And then the second excuse was she had a bunch of lymph nodes that were all like blown up in her neck and she needed to go to the hospital. Who knows, bro? But she went to the fucking hospital. You know what I mean? And so it's whatever. But then, like, you know, out of like nowhere, you know, I'm like working my second shift and she's like, oh, my boyfriend got arrested in Key West for fighting this old man. And
did
I need
win?
To. I need to go down there and fucking bail him out. So I can't show up for my shift. So here I am, clocking in at 2 o'clock p.m. and hearing that the person that's going to alleviate me from my shift at 11 is not coming in. And I have to work till 6 a.m. I pulled a 14-hour shift and I sat there and I like lamented about how I could get back on the two people that fucked me over for having to work this overnight shift. And I made that store fucking perfect. And then I literally fucking threw a knife in my manager's gut and was like, you see how well that store is? I was like, have you seen it in that condition since I've done night shift? And I was like, get rid of these motherfuckers, put me on night shift, and give me more money. And she's like, I can make that happen. And so, I am fucking making chess moves while these fuckers are playing checkers. And that's what I'm doing. And I'm not going to be at Circle K for long. I don't give a fuck, man. I'll work this overnight shift for a little while. But, like, as soon as I find something better, I am out of there. But, like, I have no literal life. I have no girlfriend. I have this podcast. And that's it. Like, so I just fucking deal with my people at work. And to be honest, I like the third shift better. Dude, I had, like, some people slip me some weed while I was at work. And it was, like, I was, like, tight.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was awesome. I smoked it, you know what I mean?
And kind of,
dude, I like, went to
first
a...
First step.
Dude, there was people trying to get gas. And I was, like, I'm taking the trash out. You can't go in the store right now.
And I'm smoking dope.
Yeah, I was smoking dope. It was fucking awesome. And I think almost one of them called in because at 4 o'clock in the morning, somebody called in and was like, hey, Espanol. And I'm like, yeah, sí, muy poquito. And they're like, manager? And I'm like, yeah, I'm the manager. And they're like, they started speaking more Spanish. And I was like, muy, muy poquito Espanol. I don't know, what's the problemo? And they'll be like, I'm calling corporate. And I just was like, okay, cool, whatever. And, like, I gave two fucks because I already knew, you know, like, whatever the fuck they were going to complain about held no fucking ramifications towards what I dealt with. I was holding that store on my back, and the managers needed me, and I did everything that needed to be done, from the inside trash to the outside trash to labeling the fucking condiments and stocking the fucking everything. And so I've been given a raise, I've been given a promotion, I'm now going to be taking care of new hires and people that are, you know, just coming into the store. And so
gas life.
Yeah, man, gas life. It sucks. So, but I'll be making more money. So that's all the point that I mean.
You gotta
so
assume.
Well,
I guess you don't have to. I mean, some of those people probably worked at a gas station, so you don't have to train them up so much.
You would think so. Like, that's what I said, dude. Like, we hired this bitch from another gas station, and so she was supposed to
over there.
No, she was transferred to our store, and like she was supposed to know what she was doing. Apparently she loved overnights, you know what I mean? But like, dude, when you do overnights, like, you're literally setting the store up for the entire day. I don't mean to get into the analytical, like, of fucking
logistics.
Gas station. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, but like, you do. You have to set out the goddamn hot dogs. You gotta set out the fucking condiments. You gotta label the condiments just in case somebody comes in and wants to grade your store. You know what I mean? And if, by God, you don't have a fucking
like
label
who would
on
grade
it.
It's like a Yelper?
No, it's just like somebody from corporate. You know what I mean? And like, and so like, I take my extra time and I fucking clean the store to where it needs to be done. And there's waters outside that get delivered on like a bi-weekly basis. And like, they need to be stacked properly. And like, it's just, there's a lot of shit that goes down in a gas station. And y'all don't get paid enough to do it. And I asked my manager to pay me enough to do it. And she said, fucking, I'll do it. And that's what all that matters. So, cheers to that.
Yep, Skelly's the best.
I'm playing them fucking like checkers. And I'm playing chess.
He plays chess. It's like watch Queen's Gambit. That's Skelly. So. Doing drugs and drinking and beating people.
Yep.
So, to piggyback on one thing Skelly said, I haven't had a lot going on, but as you guys have, the J-Size story reading Chronicles, I'm on to the second book. In Ooh. this trilogy of books, the first one was Hell on Earth. Second one is Road of the Damned. I'm almost done. If Skelly and I didn't get together, I would have definitely probably finished the book. But yeah, I'm through most of this book.
I feel like I gotta like tickle him with a fucking with like a feather to get like the juicy parts out of this book. You know what I mean, like.
Well, I don't want to be spoiler alerting over here, but
man, dude, there's some good parts about this book that he tells me, and it's like,
whew. this particular book, well, the second one is cool, is cool because it has a lot of all the people that were in the first book were like, there was like 10 chapters, 10 different people, blah, blah, blah. Like everybody's finally there. It's almost like in Walking Dead, how everybody becomes a group.
Yeah.
And I like that only because it's like easier to track what the fuck is going on. Because originally I was like, man, there's so many people. There's like, I'd see names sometimes. Even in this book, I'm like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
You know, and now it's like everybody's together and it's well, not everybody, but most of the people are grouped together. So it's like cool that they're putting, it makes sense how the guy started at this point. Because like, it'd be easy if it was a TV show where you have 10 different people, blah, blah, blah. They all have, within a book, like the amount of issue going on in every part is a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Like they could have rode through this in five, six episodes and then.
But it turns into one chapter.
Right. Now they were like becoming like a clan.
Yeah.
Or whatever. What are you going to say? Like a group or.
Congregation.
Congregation. Whatever. Whatever would you want to use. So it's pretty good.
I would say a gang.
One of the last things in this book. And I Scanlon and I did a side quest the other day, and I talked about the guy having to chop his own arm off.
Oof.
The one thing in this book so far that kind of threw me a little bit was when the guy went to he was in a trailer park, like he was like rummaging for food and this and the other, and he goes into one of the trailers and he sees a picture of a family, a husband, wife, a kid, a baby. Not a kid, a baby. And he goes into the room that's the nursery and the baby's in the fucking crib.
All zombified.
Yeah, and he had to kill it. I was like, oh god.
Oh dude, I wouldn't have had no problem. I would have been like, that thing's annoying.
I mean, he didn't have a problem. This is the one guy I talked about. I think I talked about this guy before with he had the hockey stick weapon he made.
Yeah.
Where he was cool with killing it, but he definitely still like at first was like, oh fuck. You know?
You would have that fucking like, but then you hear it fucking cry for like two more minutes and you're like, alright. And then like, and then after that, if it's like a Walking Dead world, you know what I mean? I'm eating that baby.
Oh damn, you're on, we had this.
I'm eating that baby.
Oh, that was on the episode that we didn't put out.
I'm gonna say that. But like,
we put on an episode that ended up not putting together so well because everybody was talking over each other. Not like we were doing it rudely, but like the
content.
Skelly, Chris, and I are all in different cities, so we do this through through Wi-Fi or whatever, where everybody's talking was overlapping where it actually wasn't.
Ooh, yeah, it was a technical difficulty.
Yeah,
But
that was the thing I brought up to Skelly about eating zombies, and
hypothetically,
he kind of looked at me a little odd at first, and everybody does. But when I bring it down to them, I'm like, "Well, that makes sense." And then I'll throw it over to you.
Oh, because like hypothetically, all right, now like if we're in a zombie apocalypse, I'm gonna stray away from eating a zombie. Now, would I eat a human? Absolutely. The difference between that's a zombie and a human is there's the infection that's in the zombie. But in Walking Dead world universe, everybody has the fucking virus, so it doesn't fucking matter. So if I come across a newborn baby. Are you kidding me, man? I've read so many books about how fresh a baby is and eating them, and they're like, mwah.
It's just like, what is it, like venison?
Yeah, man. Like, Albert Fish was one of the number ones. He was just like, their buttocks are fucking like.
Their buttocks.
Yeah, like, it's like a filet, but softer. Albert Fish.
Venison, it's delicious.
Albert Fish was a gentleman that liked to be spanked with needles. He actually had an encounter with a younger man, and they had a sexual experience. But then Albert Fish tried to cut off his dick. And he only cut off half, he got like halfway through it. And the guy like freaked out. And then Albert Fish just threw $20 at him and then he left.
Lissy bait him.
It's fucking crazy though. Like Albert Fish, dude, Albert Fish was insane, man. Dude, he's a creepy old man. Like if you look up pedophile, Albert Fish.
There you go, he's a Jared of Subway kind of guy.
Yep. If he was slanging fucking Subway sandwiches, it would be Albert Fish for sure. That's how, dude, that's how he came in. He came into the family with like a basket of like fruit and dude, he came in slick. Like his the brother wrote the article. The brother wrote the article for the ad, and Albert Fish replied to it. But then so he showed up to the family's house wanting to hire the son, but then he saw the daughter and he was just like, he became in love with the daughter. And so the day that that he was going to bring the son or the brother to the working experience, he actually had said, hey, there's a birthday that I'm going to, and I think that she would really enjoy, send her to this address. And so they send her to him, and they go to the address, and it's this abandoned house. And he's like, everybody's playing inside, but pick some wild flowers while I'm inside. And then don't come inside until I call you, because it's a surprise. And he got upstairs, got butt naked, called her name, brought her upstairs, and slammed the door behind her and attacked her while he was butt naked. And just imagine the fear of this young girl, like, seeing this creepy old man that likes to get spanked with needles. And it's just like,
dude, you bring him up, it was...
And then
I feel like it might have been on one of our older podcasts. I remember you bringing this guy in.
And he ate her. But then, like, he wrote, like, this fucked up
letter.
Dude, he ate her. And then he wrote this fucked up letter to the mother, who was illiterate. And it was like... So the father didn't read the letter to the mother. So he read it personally. And he was like... The letter read was like, she died a virgin. I could have fucked her, but I didn't want to.
Oh, Jesus.
And it was,
Christ.
Like, super fucked up, man. Like, but...
That is definitely wild.
Yeah. Another novel I read, as we're talking about novels, he was talking about this fucking, zombie book. I also brought up this, this one book that was made into a movie adaptation that didn't live up to its, like, my expectations. It was the Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter movie. I actually said it right this time. I've said it, like, three times, and I biffed it every time. Man, in the book, dude, they make Abraham Lincoln out to be, like, this, like... huge, like, super buff dude, and like Paul Bunyan, exactly. Like, he's got like two axes, and like with one swing he's like knocking out like four trees and shit, and like he's just slaying like vampires throughout the entire fucking book, and it's awesome. And it's really cool because they didn't add this into the movie at all. There was a factual Confederate soldiers on the Confederate side, obviously. And then there was the Union soldiers who were the humans. And there was a secret war between the Union and the Confederates. The Confederates were the vampires who wanted to continue... body harvesting the slaves so that way they could drink their blood, and the humans wanted to stop that, and that was the underlying war between in the Civil War. And it's cool because, like, in the book you could tell who was a vampire and who wasn't, because vampires could actually daywalk as long as they had like dark shades on.
And like the Lost Boys.
Like the Lost, and it was really cool. Like, so if there was a vampire, like he would come up with like some dark ass shades and shit, and it was, dude. The book was amazing, and it didn't translate into a good movie. The movie was okay, you know what I mean? But the book was amazing. So yeah,
the one thing I do want to say about the movie, and for anybody who saw it, like, I mean, I didn't read the book, but one thing Skelly did say while I was letting him kind of ramble on there was that, you know, I feel like most of the time, movies aren't as good as books. With that being said, it's crazy if you think about it, because I don't know his name. I'm looking up right now. Like, the guy who played Abraham Lincoln in that movie was the guy from... Oh, my God. One of those movies, like the Ed and what's her name? Like, the people from Amityville Horror. The people... The Geen? No, not... Yeah, fuck. Like, the guy who was in it, he was in a bunch of scary movies...
I honestly think we should cut this part out.
Well, I just think like that movie was pretty good.
Who the fuck was the actor though? It was a good actor. Because it was supposed to be a goddamn good movie. Like, it was like, whoa! And then it like came out to be like this like weird Transformer CGI movie that had no like... fucking substance to it.
Yeah.
It was just like Abraham Lincoln killing fucking vampires, and there was so much more to that.
It was that I thought the movie was pretty good. It had enough action in it for me, and it was also like an hour and a half, hour 40 minutes, something like that.
Where is it, baby?
Oh my God! It's not the guy I thought it was. I thought it was a different guy. I honestly thought it was the guy from The Conjuring.
Womp womp.
So I was wrong.
Show me what you've got.
That is on me. Because this guy does not look familiar at all. His name is Benjamin Walker. He's not much of anything you know. I like that Dominic Cooper is in that.
He's
the guy who trains him, who's in the show Priest. You ever seen the show Priest?
I actually haven't, but it looks like a really
fast... That's your kind of show.
There's a character that has a mouth as a sphincter, and his name's Sphincter Mouth.
Yeah, he's a regular dude who...
He's got an asshole.
He kills a broad, and then he tries to kill himself, and that he doesn't succeed. And that's what happens.
He gains a sphincter for a mouth.
Well, he shoots himself in the face and he doesn't die.
Oh, shit.
And that's what his mouth looks like from the burns and scars.
Oh, yay. This is a perfect segue. Dude, check it out. Listen, I was watching this shit on Netflix, all right? It was called White Boy Rick, right? And
is that the movie Matthew McConaughey?
No. This is some, like, documentary type shit. This happened in Detroit. And so there's all these fucking kingpins dealing coke like left and right and shit, and like obviously coke was turning into crack and yada yada, and this was like during the 60s and the 70s, and during Eddie Murphy and Beverly Hills Cop, the boss that was his boss was actually the fucking head lieutenant in Michigan during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was convoluted in the whole fucking shit. So the FBI gets this fucking young boy who is actually affiliated through his father to get into this fucking this coke cartel. You know what I mean? And the FBI is supplying him with money left and right, just do whatever you can so that way you can supply us with more information. And he's like in high school and he's like, I gotta go to school. And the FBI is like, well, it's more important that you supply us with information. And so they fucking like literally milk him dry full of information, and then they just leave him be. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the only thing he knows is what he was just experiencing. So he perpetuates that fucking that coke lifestyle. And then he ends up like hooking up with like the DEA's fucking like niece and shit like that. And there was a huge bust and he got busted during that while he was banging the DEA's niece. And he had a certain amount of drugs on him. And in Detroit, if you had that certain amount of drugs, you just got a life sentence, no matter what. And it was bullshit because, like, he was set up as an informant through the fucking the FBI. And there was this one dude that was, like, essentially, you know, like, Ted Kaczynski, who was the Iceman? Mm-hmm. Who was the mob killer? There was this dude that was called like fucking, I can't remember his name in the documentary, but he was like the equivalent of that. Like he handled every fucking hit in Detroit, and he was set up to kill fucking White Boy Rick, but like
that was a movie though. Just so you know, White Boy Ricky.
It was the doc is crazy. So, but like he pulls up his shirt and he was like, "This is what it looks like to be an assassin." And he's got like, dude, he looks like Deadpool. Like
I feel like the thing you said for the Iceman is wrong, but that's okay.
Ted Kaczynski
is the Unabomber.
Oh, he's Unabomber. You're right. Who is the fucking
not bad.
Nah, but either way, so, but, like...
Maybe we should go start the silver.
Like, dude, the dude pulls up his shirt and he's, like, all covered in scars because, like, he would get shot up, you know what I mean? And, like, oh, goddamn, what the fuck is that dude's name?
Bro, that dude went into a gay club one time... And his hit was a gay dude. So he danced with him. While they were dancing on the dance floor, nobody else was looking. He fucking shot a surge of poison into his fucking neck.
He just shot him with some injection?
Yep. In the neck. And walked off.
What's his name? I'm going to come up with
a face. I got it. You keep talking.
What is it?
No, I didn't see right. Anyways. So with all that being said, you can tell this is going to be an episode that's a little bit grislier than most. Or, you know, whatever you want to think.
Oh, yeah. Richard Kuklinski.
And so. Richard Kuklinski, shout out New Jersey. Big time in New Jersey over there. He was...
excuse me. So Richard Kuklinski, the Iceman.
Iceman, yes. Iceman is also segregated in his own little ward area. Yeah. Where he's kept away from everybody.
Everybody.
Because he was... That dude.
He would kill anybody and everybody.
He was something else. Like
he was prolific with an ice
pick. Well, he supposedly killed Jimmy Hoffa.
Yes, that's true. He did take credit for that.
Which...
Who knows?
I mean... See, it's weird because you could easily see him...
Quit looking at us.
You could easily see him kill him. But at the same time, it's also like, I got so much pub... If I say it, people are going to believe it.
Exactly. Like, I'm not going to go into it, but, like, there was this, damn, if I knew
so
this.
So you're not going to go into it, but you are.
Dude, there's fucking this serial killer that went into it, and he claimed that he was, like, a part of, like, 300 fucking murders, and he wasn't a part of shit. And he was just a fucking toothless hick.
There's a thing on Netflix about it.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I don't know his name, but I know what you're talking about.
Damn. Pause it.
I don't like to pause. Let's keep going. Alright. It's fine. Just keep going.
Either way.
Go on with what we were saying.
The dude was a toothless hick, and, like, he got arrested, and then, like, when he got arrested, he, like, teased the cops with, like, the information that he had. And so, like, with every murder, they would take him out of his cell, and they would bring him out into the nature, and he would just walk around and be like, yep, that's where it happened, right there. And, like, it was bullshit. And then he would do that like 100 more times, and he probably only killed maybe like 5 to 10 people, but like he claimed he killed like 100 to plus. But the dude was a fucking... The dude was an idiot. They actually made... They brought him up in Mindhunter. That series I was talking about on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, I know Mindhunter.
But...
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. He looks like a straight bumpkin.
Dude, he's a bumpkin. He's literally a side up from fucking Ed Gein.
Let me throw this out there to you. And we've never done this before. Especially if you guys listen to the side quest and shit, like Skelly, and you know, we're probably gonna change over time because there's only so many serial killers you can talk about, but he throws me out, you know, information on a serial killer, and you know, I venture my guesses. With that being said, who to you is the GOAT serial killer?
The GOAT?
Yeah.
I'd have to say BTK. Dude, BTK had it right. If he, or Richard Ramirez.
It's funny you said that because I was looking up the Netflix thing and his face popped up. And
that's also, by the name, that guy's name was Henry Lee Lucas, that bum fuck, Henry Lee Lucas. So, but all right. So now that I may concentrate on this this question a little bit more, who did it the best? I would say the Zodiac. Because he never got caught.
Okay. I was just curious what you had to say about
it. Yeah, no. The Zodiac,
Jack the Ripper?
As far as efficiency, you know what I mean? Like, Jack the Ripper definitely holds the helm there. You know what I mean? Like, he,
Is he the GOAT, though? Richard Ramirez could be there, though, because he was...
Richard Ramirez was confirmed. Everything that he did, it was confirmed, and he did a lot of shit. But Ted Bundy.
Like, at first, when you said that, I was like...
Let's go.
That was my thing about Ted Bundy, because he was... Because you could say he never got caught, but he only, like, the Zodiac Killer only killed, like, a handful of people. Or, you know, two handfuls of people. And I know that's, either way, I'm not trying to sound morbid, but...
No, this is what our fucking podcast is about. Don't even get there.
Well, I meant to the fans more than you.
Ah, jerk off to this shit.
But, I mean, I definitely could see... Yeah, I mean, he definitely did his work, and it just seemed to work out for him.
I am currently looking up serial killers with the highest known victim count.
Well, there we go. Because I think Richard Ramirez, especially after, like, it's crazy. Like, that the documentary, if anybody, and we brought this up before, like, if you haven't seen the documentary...
Okay, listen to this, alright? Louis Gravatio, he was in Colombia, Ecuador, Venezuela. Years active was 1992 through 1999. Proven victims, 138. Possible victims, 172 to 300 plus. Child murderer, torturer, killer, and rapist known as La Bestia, the Beast, confessed to killing 140 boys, 8 and 16 year olds over 17 year period in Colombia and neighboring countries. He is suspected to murdering 300 victims, mostly street children. Gavario was originally sentenced to 1,853 years in prison, but this was later reduced to 22 years.
What?
What the fuck?
That's a big cutoff.
Yeah, right? Years after he led police to many of the bodies of his victims, he's scheduled to become eligible to parole in 2023. Are you fucking kidding me? That's how they do that shit in Colombia. I forgot about that shit.
Let me ask you this.
It's a whole nother world down there.
But did he have anything to do with the cartels?
Probably. I mean, they didn't say nothing about that. But, like, I mean, I'm going to the next one. That's number one. Pedro Lopez, Colombia, Peru,
Don't go to the next one.
Ecuador.
I'm interested in knowing if that guy was part of the cartel down there.
Let's go ahead and go into Luis Alfredo Grafado Lopez. Born 25 January. I pronounced that correctly.
You said it like you were had an accent.
Luis Alfredo Grafaz Gluplas.
But you said born?
Did I? Either way, born 25 January 1957. So he was born actually 10 years after my mom was born. Also known as La Batista the Beast. Or Trebriana.
Is this the same guy or a different guy?
The same guy.
Okay, because now you're
named after a Disney character, Goofy.
Dame.
Is a Colombian rapist and serial killer. In 1999, he admitted to rape, torture, murder, and of 138 boys and teenagers. John Wayne Gacy out of the fucking park. John Wayne Gacy, I mean, he was a sick fuck, but dude, 138 boys and teenagers? Dude, that's crazy. Like, that's like, this dude's hitting like MVP numbers. His victims, based on locations of skeletons listed on maps that Gravado drew in a prison, could exceed 300. Grafado continues to confess to more murders. He has been described by local media as the world's worst serial killer. Well, I would think he was pretty goddamn good if he fucking killed that goddamn many. The Guinness
Book That's nothing by worst.
The Guinness Book of World Records lists another Colombian, Pedro Alonso Lopez, which was the second dude I was going to list. Known in Colombia as the Monster of Andes, as the largest scale serial killer in modern times. However, in terms of numbers of murder convictions, Harold Shipman tops the list by Gavraldo, with Lopez third. The judicial body ruled Gustavo's sentence totaling 1,853 years and 9 days in jail.
I think...
Jesus Christ. What are those 9 days? Like, you might as well just fucking... cut my dick off. Like, fucking...
They don't want you to have the clink. They don't want to kill you. Like, in all honesty, a lot of people... think people deserve the death penalty. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like I do.
But it would be worse if you were just essentially held in a box.
You are. It's like some weird purgatory.
But that's what I mean. Other than killing them.
I think the most... See, everything... that's what's wild. Is everybody on the left... is like, oh, death penalty. No, motherfucker. These motherfuckers are fucking demented. And they need to be executed from this life. There needs to be no remnants of their fucking, like, psychology.
You know, it would be sick. And I don't mean to cut you off, but... hypothetically.
Yeah.
Hypothetically. They caught him. Richard Ramirez versus Ted Bundy. Brawl to the death.
Oh, Ted.
Well, I'm not saying who would win, but like you're saying, like, oh, like, because I think like
that would be tight.
We're paying for them. Like, it's almost like the Running Man with fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, nigga, throw them in.
Throw them in. Who wins? And like,
let's run it.
You tell them, and nobody can see this, but I'm putting quotes up. Whoever wins gets out, but then you just kill them either way.
Yeah, not
yet. Or you know, whatever. Like, it's almost like Gladiator. It's like Gladiator.
Yeah, I give you a quicker death, or you continue killing motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Exactly like Gladiator. Ted Bundy and Richard Ramirez. I would go for Richard Ramirez. Richard 100%. Ramirez was a little quicker. Ted Bundy, he was a little methodical. He needed to think about shit. And when things actually came to fruition for him was when things kind of escalated out of nowhere, which would be a good combative to Richard Ramirez, kind of like, dude, Richard Ramirez was crazy. Dude, he was ready to stab and fuck whatever. And then he went to jail and became like a sex symbol. It was wild. It was.
Yeah, they Richard Ramirez with, and if anybody hasn't seen it, you gotta watch it. I saw it on Netflix. He was something else. He was essentially a savage. And I mean, I get it if you're in that mind state. And I get that he was, you know, and the crazy part is, like, you know, they say, you know, as long as, you know, just like Skelly was saying about the other guy, like, confirmed kills and this, that, and the other, like, his numbers were higher than they seemed when he got convicted and all that. And, you know, I mean, it's not a knock on South America that... Obviously, the other guy, which I don't remember the name, he killed such a ridiculous amount of people, which in the South, and not South as far as, you know, America, but like South America, like, I feel like it's easier to just fucking clip people off. Like, if you ever seen, there's a show on Netflix where they kind of target how they fucking took down Pablo Escobar and this, that, and the other. That shit was the fucking goddamn Wild West.
It was wild. Yeah.
And where even back then, even like 80s and 90s, where it was still like... See, that's the thing. And I've said this to Skelly before, where you got... all these people, you know, where they're just gunning down people in a fucking bakery, bank, this, that, and the other. It's like, well, and I said to him, and I'm not trying to say that I'm right or whatever, but where all these people are going out and gun-toting 8, 12 people with a quick killing. And I just think now... the people that would be serial killers, they have no shot. There's the chance of a serial killer now is so minuscule. Because there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
Or not, if there's not cameras, there's people with their phones. So, and yeah, this doesn't sound fucking terrible, but like the fucking... of people going out there, not going out there, but people seeing on the news and being so infatuated, the infatuation of serial killers is fucking gone.
The only way that you could actually replicate that is if you went on a rain and didn't get caught.
Well, yeah.
You have to stay uncatchable. You continue murders... and you stay uncatchable. And that's kind of what BTK did for forever. Like, BTK was... he was He had Kansas City, the whole fucking like area, on high alert. But if I may drop back to a if I had to look at Ted Bundy and Richard Ramirez in a Mortal Kombat fight, I would assume like Ted Bundy, dude, did you know that he was actually a suicide call hotline?
You told me that before.
He would talk people down from committing suicide.
The weird part is most of the people are frail people.
What do you mean?
I feel like if they didn't have a gun, if Richard Ramirez came into my house right now, I would fuck him up.
Oh, well, yeah, Richard Ramirez was super frail, yeah.
But so, Ted Bundy wasn't like a big old fella. He was like a...
He was an average dude.
That's what I mean.
Ted Bundy was actually probably stronger than Richard Ramirez. But as far as...
Ted Bundy had Satan. I mean, Richard Ramirez had Satan.
As far as ferocity, though... Richard Ramirez, 100%. Ted Bundy was just fucked up in the head. He liked to kill his people and then bury them and then unbury them and have sex with their corpses. That's some like psychological weird shit. Richard Ramirez would specifically target like weak individuals, like older people or younger people. And I don't know if you watched that series on Netflix. The original detectives were like, this was more than one person. And this young detective was coming onto the scene and he was like, nah, niggas, it's one. It's all the same guy. And he ended up being right. And I'm gonna throw this back at you though. So if you ask me Ted Bundy and Richard Ramirez, I pick Richard Ramirez in that fight. So in this fight, John Wayne Gacy,
Jeffrey Dahmer,
exactly.
John Wayne Gacy,
really.
Well, I think about it like this.
Do you know anything about Jeffrey Dahmer, though?
Well, I think about it like this. They both pride on victims. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But John Gacy was a stocky dude.
He was.
Where Jeffrey Dahmer was a linky fuck.
No, he was stocky as fuck. Dude, he was ripped, dude. Did you, like, he did nothing but work out. He was.
If you would have looked it up right now, John Wayne Gacy was a heavier set fella.
Yes.
This is coming down to Mortal Kombat.
It depends.
I wish we had the thing for
Mortal Kombat. Yeah, it really depended on if John Wayne Gacy and Jeffrey Dahmer came upon each other.
I feel like John Wayne Gacy was also more like, in a way, like forward about his murders, if that makes sense. Where Jeffrey Dahmer was like almost like a creepier.
Well,
that makes sense.
John Wayne Gacy.
Well, he's not gonna try to fight a person. He's gonna try to get him in this house. Blah blah blah. Where I feel like John Wayne Gacy, if he had to, could.
John Wayne Gacy did overpower his victims.
Yes, that's what I'm. You know.
Yeah.
Where he was like leaning on surprise. Or
it
stuff.
Would depend on who drank the drink first. To be honest, because Jeffrey Dahmer would drug.
There wouldn't be any of that. I'm talking about literally, legitimately.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
All right, so John Wayne Gacy wins. So, but
Richard Ramirez wins.
But it would be a good fight.
Does John Wayne Gacy beat Richard Ramirez?
Yes.
I don't think so.
You don't? You think Richard Ramirez
is
faster?
His quickness.
His quickness. Damn. 100%. So who beats Richard Ramirez then?
Maybe the axe murderer.
Ooh.
Which is where
we're
going with all this
segue into it. We're going to take a small break and we're going to come right back to it, guys. We'll be right back. All right, so the Axeman in Louisiana was prolific around 1910. He kind of went around kind of attacking randomly, you know what I mean? And like these
Italians. He attacked randomly around Italians.
Italians. He hated people with meatballs and spaghetti. It was weird, and then he did like this thing with like the Zodiac, like years before the Zodiac, where he was interacting with like the news, kind of like Jack the Ripper almost. And he said, "If y'all play a bunch of jazz music on this motherfucking day, I ain't gonna kill you." And Jay-Z likes to
he essentially did what I guess God did during Passover, where it was like, if you put lamb's blood over your doors, I won't kill you. So, which is weird because I don't think that particular night he killed anybody, but jazz music was playing
Through
the night. I don't think that particular night he killed anybody, but he told everybody to play jazz music, and you know, so it was like, and nobody got killed.
That's our New Orleans music.
We all play jazz music.
Yeah, and so, but like, I will say that one of his victims was attacked very ferociously. They said that he had struck him in the head over 18 times. And his wife had actually walked in while he was striking her husband. And again, he was never found, you know what I mean? And he ended up just disappearing into history. And
yeah, he was, as they would say, Shane and Ryan, it remains unsolved. And that's what we got for that. We're gonna have another episode come out here shortly thereafter where we talk about some other crazy shit like that.
We gotta do a beer run.
We appreciate you guys listening. As always, it's on Facebook, Twitter, the Lost Boys Podcast. You hit us up at Lost Boys JC Facebook and Twitter.
And you can hit me up at That Monster Podcast and Instagram, That Monster in the Woods, on Snapchat. My name is Skelly. If you want to play some video games with me and get smacked in some Madden or play some Apex with me, Ghostface Killa FL. And Jay-Z also has a fucking game handle.
Yeah, hit me up on Sizz1935 on Xbox. I've been playing a lot of Outriders, so hit us up. We'll bring Outriders up in the next episode. We have some other things. We're gonna keep it a little spooky. So hit us up. We are here for you guys. Questions, comments, concerns, hit us up. But appreciate you listening, and thank you guys.
Magusulations. 666.